Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Freedom River. It's so nice to see everyone, family. How are you doing? How is everyone doing?
Hallelujah! Jesus is the King.
Amen. Okay, so I just want to ask you something, all these lovely people. Who is here and who got encouragement today? Who is here and you got to encourage someone today? Woo! Who is here and you didn't get encouragement and you need it so much? Yeah, don't be shy. Oh, James needs encouragement. Everyone else got theirs. So James, God loves you and you are such a faithful servant and God is taking you deeper, and he has surprises for you. Amen? I'll encourage you. Okay, so remember, this is Frovember. This is our month. This is our birthday month. Our church was born in November. And then Jesus was born in December. You know, I was just joking. It was not a good joke, okay? So let's remember, not only for this month, but throughout the year, we are family, family, family. God brought us together. God brought us together. And so let's remember to encourage each other. Let's remember to love each other. Let's remember to laugh together. Let's remember to eat together. And today we will eat and watch a movie too. So good. Okay, let's see. What do we have for announcements today? Okay, so spiritual renewal month. It's not like I am so spiritual this month, I will fast, I'll pray, and for the rest of the year, I will live how I want. Okay? It's not like that. This is months for you to get more strength, get more vision for your life, so you go into 2020 with clear vision, with expectations, with sin repented, with breakthrough. Amen? So let's just focus on that, hearing the voice of the Lord for next year, hearing the voice of the Lord for us, for our families, and for the city. Amen? Okay, so you are our faithful ushers. They have this calendar with events that we'll have throughout the month. Hi, Noah. And so just stay tuned, okay? If you don't have this calendar, you can get it from them, or you can look online on our awesome website. Okay, so today after church, again, we are family. We'll celebrate family and life and what Jesus does, and we will watch a movie. I can only imagine. It's based on a true story. Who knows this song? I can only imagine. Amen. So this is the story of a person who wrote it. An amazing miracle God did. So today after church, don't leave. Women's Bible study, Wednesday Bible study. I would cheer, but I just don't come because I work. But all of you guys who have time, maybe you work later in the evening or you're a stay-at-home mom or whatever, you are welcome to join. And you don't have to know the Bible, you just have to know the address, okay? So it's on Pacific and 106 at Starbucks. It's very, very awesome time with coffee, okay? So please come. Then this Saturday, November 16th, we will have amazing research. How do you do that when two things come together? Surgeons. Convergence! Yes! Not surgery, convergence! So, men's and women's Bible study will be the same Saturday, which is awesome because it gives opportunity after Bible study. You can join together, you can join forces together and go and serve if you have time, okay? So afterwards, there is opportunity to go to neighborhood outreach at 11:30. So that's so awesome. Men in one room and women in another room and we both, and Jesus everywhere! Yeah! This is awesome. Okay, don't forget this coming Saturday. Okay, November prayer opportunities. So November 19th, 6 a.m. and November 20th at 4 p.m. Prayer open for everyone. If you're early bird or like me, late sleeper. So for everyone. Okay, baptisms, November 17th. If you want to get baptized, please sign up with Kathy or Dennis right there with beautiful hair. Uncle Dennis right there, Pastor Dennis. And we'll have baby dedication. So we love babies. We love grow. We love to grow, right? Babies are blessing. So if you have a baby, or if you know someone who has a baby, and even if they don't know the Lord, just invite them, because we want to pray over them. We want to dedicate the baby to the Lord. And who knows, the Spirit of God might just like rest on the baby, and right, his destiny will come. Okay, so please sign up with Kathy for baptisms and baby dedication, because there's preparation. It's not just like you show up and you just get into the water or bring your baby. You can't do that, but it's preparation. We would like to talk to you. We would like to, you know, tell what you need to do, what you need to bring, pray original design for your babies, prepare you for the baptism. So you know, when I got baptized, it was awesome. I just heard the Holy Spirit so much clear. So just come with expectations, okay? Okay, so, and we have Thanksgiving dinner, and Pastor Dennis would like to share with us the details. Pamela, amazing, beautiful Pamela, is here to give you more details how to sign up. And this is so awesome.
We have a nice little sign up sheet. So at the end of the service, just meet me back in the back and I'll hand you the sheet. You can have time to look through to see what you'd like to participate in. So you get to receive a blessing and be a blessing to others as well.
Amen. And I have friends who actually also have a Christmas dinner, and it's their tradition, family tradition. We go and we serve, and this is awesome. And I come to eat here for Thanksgiving, so it's so fun. You just come, it's family, and you meet people, and you eat. It's awesome. Okay, so let's stand up and worship. Amen. Jesus, you're the King. We're here because of you. We celebrate you, God. We celebrate. We ask for your presence to fall. We love you, God. Be enthroned in our praises, God. And I just pray, uplift our hearts towards you, God. I just pray that hope will rise within, God. I pray that healing will fall in this place, God. I pray freedom will come. I pray breakthrough, God. I pray, God, for your love, God. For your love, God, to just cast out every fear so we run free after you in Jesus' name.
Come here. But we already sense and already know, as you indwell in each believer, Holy Spirit, you are here. And we just proclaim, have your way. However that looks, whatever the schedule, we say, Holy Spirit, come. Have your way. Have your way. Jesus, we love you. We pray in your name. Amen. I want to just coach you a little bit. We're going to open up the communion tables. We're going to take communion together. So if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you have trusted him for your salvation through faith, you believe, and you believe in God's grace, you are saved. And not only are you secure in that salvation, you are made safe, but you are a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, the body of believers that is around this globe. And for us, we welcome you to join at the communion table with us. I'll coach you just real quickly. These elements signify some very important things. The bread on that Last Supper that Jesus had on earth with his disciples was a symbol that he held up, and he said, this represents my body, which is given as a ransom for many. And those around that table, I don't think, understood what he was saying, that he would soon be giving up his body as it would be tortured to death on a cross. But he held up the cup and said, this represents my blood, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Now, that's a way of saying this reality, because we are sinners before a holy God, holy, holy God, there's only one way God can relate to that sin, and it's eternal separation, death. But Jesus said, I'm going to pay that ransom, and I will pay, voluntarily pay, the debt that is your debt, not mine, because he was without sin. And so he said, these two symbols give a great illustration of your salvation. Now, this is all motivated by one thing that I don't want you to forget, and that is love. And that's what today is about. It's not a guilt trip. We're all sinners. That just makes us the same. So it's kind of silly to compare, isn't it? Let's just come together and say, really? Jesus, I can sit down with you, have a meal? I know this isn't much of a meal, but I wanted you to understand the significance of these elements. But after church, hey, I think we're having hot dogs and watching a movie, so we kind of like to do our fellowship on Communion Sunday because there is an aspect of observing these elements of fellowship with God. And I don't want you to miss the joy of that and the love of that and what that signifies. So we're going to continue worshiping, but when you are ready, please feel free to come forward, and we have the attendants here, and help yourself, and you could either observe the elements up here or go back to your seat, whatever, wherever you're comfortable. Be mindful of the aisles so people can get to the front and to the back. But I'm going to bless it, and then we'll open up the communion. So, Lord, we thank you for your provision for all of us. And I know what this represents. And there was another instruction that night. You said, hey, guys, don't forget me. Do this in remembrance of me. Well, Lord, we remember, and we are so thankful. And we are so thankful for the reality of your Spirit that we can commune with you. You're not here physically, but you are here spiritually. And that is a real experience. So thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. Thank you for your love. We receive that. In Jesus' name, amen. Please feel free to come forward as you feel led.
We worship the name of the Lord, and we are telling God how proud we are, how much we love him. And it is really a similar feeling that I remember when my youngest son told me, well, actually, when my youngest son told his friend how much he believes in me. When he told, I just overheard over that, I was in the next room, and when he says, I believe, when my dad says, that's it. And when I heard that, I remember the feeling, I remember the teardrops. I remember this is how much my son trusts me. And I remember there's nothing in the world that I wouldn't do for him. I'm bringing this out so that all of us can really truly worship the Lord as we remember how much God must be proud of us when you tell him how much he is to you. Close your eyes, please. Let's just close our eyes. Just say, just think about and meditate what God is, how much God means to you. Have you told your friends? Have you told anybody? Have you told God how much you love him, how much you proud of him, how he is your castle, how he is your refuge, how he is very present help in times of trouble. When you tell him and you meant it, God is so proud of you. There's nothing in the world that he wouldn't do for you. In fact, that's why I believe all of us have experience of being parents, so that we can have a glimpse of what God the Father must feel like. Being parent, that's what he's feeling, and much, much more. Let's really worship him. Lord, we love you so much. In all of our beings, all of our lives, Lord, this, the words cannot even express our love for you. And really, there's not enough words in the world to describe how great you are. Lord, we worship you. We love you. Daddy, you are my daddy. You are my castle. You're everything for us. Receive our worship. Receive these offerings. Receive our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. That was good. And we have a video for you. Ushers, please come.
Tomorrow is Veterans Day, November 11th, on the 11th month, the 11th day. At the 11th hour was the armistice of World War I, the war to end all wars, and that later got changed when there were more wars after World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and the Middle East conflicts that some of our veterans were involved in. So we just want to say thank you to all our veterans, and I know of a few, but could I have all of you that served in any capacity, please come up, stand up here. We just want to pray over you and bless you and say thank you for serving. Yeah. Yeah, thank you guys. We love you. Yes, let's stand and let's pray a prayer of blessing as we say, Lord, thank you. It just doesn't seem enough when we realize the courage and the sacrifice that it takes to put your life on the line for another. But Jesus, this is your heart, and it's a value that I recognize is in these amazing men and women. So, Lord, not only for them, but for their families and all our military families tomorrow, may your honor, may your peace flow through them. God, repay them in the way that only you can. But as a church, as a society, we don't want to forget. And we say thank you. Thank you, brave ones who sacrifice and serve. So this Veterans Day, God, we pray your blessing in Jesus' name. And the whole church together said, amen. 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 All right, Marcia, come on up.
That made me cry, John.
I know.
Thank you. Am I on? Hello. Hello, hello, hello. I am. Keep talking. Hi, everybody. No. Wow. That made me cry, you guys. Wasn't that powerful? And you know, when these guys were standing up here, that's a testimony of an amazing life, to give their life for freedom. And thank you for, you're going to make me cry, the lives that you brought our freedom, helped do that. So thank you, guys. Thank you. Okay, so this is more testimonies. And Rayma, would you like to come up? And she's got a testimony here. Amen. And the last one she gave, was that not powerful? You guys were here? That was amazing. And so I'm just going to pray over you before you start. Okay. So, Father, I just thank you for Rhema, and I just pray for your peace over her. And, Lord, we just want to celebrate this testimony of her life, and her life is a testimony. And so, Lord, just bless her in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Yeah. Most of you know me. About a month ago, I woke up as at a usual Friday morning. Just another Friday, getting ready to take my kids to their appointments. Well, I woke up giving our Lord praise for another day. I told my husband, I'm going to get a new car from Car Hop. Something big enough to fit us as family. He says, okay. Well, I followed him to drop our little one off at school. Me and Isabella went on our way. As we were praying, I said, Isabella, let's go find something for us. If it's in the plan, it'll happen. Well, as I pull in, I'm thinking I'm at Car Hop. I tell the lady I have bad credit, and they've been emailing me to come and test out a car. Remind you, I'm thinking I'm at Car Hop the whole time. I'm looking for a new car. I got my pay stubs. She asked, what kind of car? I said, something that fits 8 people. She says, like a minivan? I said, exactly. Well, she says, I think I got the perfect one with low miles for you. You want to take a look at it? I said, yes, please. That's when I realized I was not at Car Hop. I was at Car Pros. God led me here. Isabella and I fell in love with it. I said, I'll take it. It was an 8-seater 2016 Kia Sedona, fully loaded, low miles, and I walked out of there paying under $500. And all was included was it was fully insured. About a week later, I got another email from the lady who sold it to me. She said, it's time to schedule a maintenance check. Everything was included with it. I had to pay nothing. I got a car wash, vacuumed, inspection, all for free. I have to say this was a miracle, but this day I found out it's not that I have bad credit. I just have no credit at all. And God led me here. But as a recovering addict, I never thought I, one, would own another thing that is brand new like this. I have to give the thanks to our Lord. Thank you.
You know, if you were here before and when she shared, she never had a job in all of her life. She had never worked. And when did you get your job?
In April.
April.
April 22nd.
And she's been going, and the Lord has changed their whole family. God is good, isn't he? What a testimony. And so, you want to say anything else?
No.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Huh?
God is big. And so I just want to pray a blessing over you. We bind every spirit of retaliation that would come against you. And we just thank you, Rhema, for your life and for what God's doing. And I believe you haven't seen anything yet. It's going to get better and better in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And Rhema, I'm proud of you that you wanted to give your testimony to your church family. I mean, that's a big deal to me. And so thank you for volunteering. Usually we kind of do the nudging, but she actually, I think, volunteered, right? You actually contacted Marcia, so bless you. And I don't want to forget Kelly since I'm looking right at her. She graduated yesterday, or what day is today? When was it? Yesterday, the day, Friday, from the NLP program. Kelly, we are so proud of you. So, okay, where? Yay, 2 graduates. Way to go, you two. You're sitting so far back there, I couldn't see you. So, wow. Well, as a church family, we want to celebrate with you and are very proud of you. So, way to go. We're fans. Been following from afar. Yes. All right. It is our spiritual renewal month, and I'm not going to spend any time on the calendar other than this. we are definitely wanting to create and build a momentum and ramp up to a healing service that we have scheduled on Sunday the 24th. So next week is baptisms, and we added baby dedication, so please take advantage of that. But there's a couple things I wanted you to notice besides all the extra prayer and all the extra things that we're doing to kind of build up our faith. We're going to have, not this week, but next week, a couple days we're going to set aside to do some fasting. And I'll talk about that next Sunday in case you haven't done that. We'll kind of break you in slow and easy. But the idea is we want our spirits that hunger and thirst for Christ Jesus to be just ready to go to pray down faith for healing of any and every infirmity that is in this room, and even some that aren't in this room on this day. So that's kind of the heart. So come join us. This week is kind of a standard week in the schedule, but next week I wanted you to kind of mentally be prepared as we ramp up. And also make this mental note: if you know somebody that is struggling with physical, spiritual, emotional, addiction, anything that we need to say the word healing over them when we pray, do your best to get them in this room. Even if you feel like, oh, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I have the faith. I get it. But all of us together, there are things happening. And Karen reported her ears being opened during worship. Yes, amen. Yeah, Samuel told me his stomach was healed during worship, so I believe these are things to encourage us and ramp us up to where all of our faith, mine too, just gets getting more and more and more until, hey, this is our house and our God and his character is one to provide a amazing vehicle, able to provide healing, able to provide salvation. We're going to believe God for all of these things. So I want to dive in because there's a couple of things that I feel important for us in this progression, in this ramp up, for me too, as well as for you. And last week I was using this passage out of Isaiah 43, that God is doing something new. And see, I've already begun. And the point of that is when God moves, it's pretty subtle. And I know if I tracked my life backwards and looked at, well, when did God first start moving? It's a lot sooner than I thought it was. When things become visible, it's evidence that God's already been working. He's already done it. And he's using this vocabulary through Isaiah the prophet. It says, see, can you see it? So it's already started. It's already begun. Now, it's impossible. You thought there was no way. That's the environment that God works. And so, yes, we're having a spiritual renewal month, but I recognize what God is doing this month is something that he began 9 years ago and is still ramping up. And the context of this something new, I love about God as well, because as I study scripture and I see the really cool things that he's done, I think very formulaic. Meaning, okay, there's a formula there. Let's do that again today. It was so cool then. Let's do it now. God's like, I'm doing something new. It's still going to have the cool factor. It's still going to have the supernatural factor, but no formulas. And as much as I like formulas, I think we'll all realize, man, when you're following a formula, there's no faith involved, right? You're just following the formula. The Holy Spirit wants a relationship. And this is a byproduct of this month. We are hoping that we all get more comfortable, more secure, enjoy the person of the Holy Spirit and our relationship with him even more. So I may not be directly talking about that, but this is the backbone of everything we are doing this month. Here's Isaiah 43:18 in a few more contexts, a few more verses. And he was talking about setting these slaves and captives free. We all have that history. We all have a miracle in our history, or you would not be in this room. And not to diminish that, that's not what Isaiah is saying here. As much as a miracle as that was, he's saying, forget that. You haven't seen nothing yet. I'm going to do something new. And I want to center on this week. I will make a pathway through the wilderness, and I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. Now, a pathway in the wilderness means it wasn't there before. It means it's a bad place. And if you are stuck out there, it's pretty hopeless. And our God is a God of hope. It says, no, when there's no way, call on my name, remember me. And by the way, a river, we're not talking puddle. We're not even talking stream, right? We're not talking a trickle of water. The word here is river. And this makes me excited, not just because we're called Freedom River Outreach. I mean, yes, I love river verses. But because the point is this will last. The point is this is not just a flash and yay and then it's gone and you're trying to find it. No, this is provision. This is a river. This is you can build on this and the next generation and the next generation, if the Lord should tarry, you are going to be able to say, oh yeah, there is provision here. There is life here. This is not just a little stream that might go dry. This is a river. So I wanted you to kind of make a mental note of that, as well as, and I talked a little bit about this last week, but you know, the wild animals will thank me. The jackals and the owls, that many times represents not only the unbelieving world, but the cynical, negative to move of God world. When God moves and he provides for his people and there is a river, even the ungodly will thank him. They're going to see you. They're going to see me. They're going to see what God has done. And society, even though it seems as secular as it could be right now, is going to say, wow, that's God. Thank you, God. These were things that we could not solve. These are things that we could not do. But we recognize something is at work here. And even the jackals that represent the most mocking and the owls that represent the most demonic, even they will say, wow, this is amazing. This is God. When God does something big in you, it starts long before you see it. Yes, it's very subtle, but everyone will benefit. God is the one that makes the way. I hope this gives you peace. It gives me peace because I'm kind of that manager planner type that says, okay, God, thank you for this prophetic work. Now, how do I go and make it happen? God says, no, you're missing the point here. You're not the one that's going to make it happen. When it's God, he makes the way, and he will sustain it. And this has been part of my prayer life for the 9 years that we've been here at Freedom River Outreach, because I say, God, I'm all in, and I'm willing, but I don't want to just, you know, have zip, wow, you know, emotional high, only to be gone in a short time later. Lord, sustain it. I want to see your move that will make a mark on a city, that will be a beacon for your truth and freedom. And people can come from afar and learn and go back to where they came from. And that's starting to happen. And you see the visitors like I see the visitors. And I say, come one, come all. Thank you, God, that you are not building just a little creek, not just a little stream, but this is a river of your love flowing through Tacoma. It will grow. And this is who we are and what we are about. And Rima, thank you for your testimony, because we've seen that. We've seen you grow in the Lord. And that's a a great little snapshot of what we all want for all of us and for so many people that don't even know the Lord yet. We want to see this kind of growth. Now think about this for a minute, because this may not be something that you necessarily value, right? I mean, okay, I guess growth is a good thing, but what's my role in it? I just kind of am, and I just kind of hang around, and I grow older. Okay, we're talking about spiritual growth here, and I'm going to show you that it's a value in Scripture. And this is out of James chapter 1, verse 2, dear brothers and sisters. This is James, the son of Joseph and Mary, that's writing this. And he says, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. I don't necessarily think that way, but okay. Great joy, trials and tribulations of every kind, yay. For you know that when your faith is tested, and this word test is the same word as the word trial. So it's like you test something to make sure it will hold you, to make sure it's strong. Your evidence has a chance to grow. Here's the value. Here's what I want you to think about this morning. So let it grow. Don't push back. Don't say, wait a minute. I didn't sign up for this. This is hard. This is inconvenient. This brings a little bit of discomfort. I just want it to stop. Well, the message from the Word of God, and James starts his letter this way, let it grow. Let it grow. God's doing something. God's doing something. I don't see it. I'm not aware of it. Oh, it began already. Can you see it? Are you not aware? It's going to be an amazing provision. I didn't know it would involve inconvenience. I didn't know it would involve a trial. I didn't know it would be hard. James knew this, and he says, when that happens, count it as joy. Joy. Yay. Joy. I'm going through this. Yeah. Count it as joy. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, I'm not going through a trial right now. That's okay. Don't worry about it. Your turn will come. Be patient, okay? Just be patient, and you'll get to experience this joy too. But those of you that are going through it right now, let it grow. Let it grow. Well, what are we talking about? We're talking about your faith. When your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you don't understand this, and verse 5 goes with this, a lot of people read verse 5 by itself, but understand this saying, I know this is counterintuitive, it's counter the flesh, and you may not get it, and you may be in the midst of the trial, and you're just blinded by the trial part of it, the discomfort, the pain of it, and you're saying, I don't see it. If you don't see it, James says, ask God. Ask him for his perspective. Ask him for this wisdom. Ask our generous God who, by the way, gives without finding fault. Now, that's a different translation, but this translation says, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. He gives freely to everyone. I've been meeting, actually, Kathy and I have been meeting with a brother that went through a very severe loss. He doesn't attend this church, but I've known him for probably 20 years. And he's going through a trial. And I don't have the answer. I you know, I've sat down with him twice now, and I don't say, oh, well, hey, here's the answer. Here's the solution. Easy peasy, done. See you later. No, he's going through it. And so I'm sitting there just caring for him, loving him. He's very appreciative, but we both are very aware of this verse. We're both very aware of this process. And he is a leader. He is a mature believer. And he's like, yeah, as much as I would love the pain to just stop, I understand. I need to go through this. Thanks for going through it with me. Now, I hope you know that's a function of family. And I hope you know it's a function of your church family. And so, please, I'm available. The rest of our leaders are available to you, day or night. If you are going through it, I'm not winking at that. I'm not diminishing that. I'm not saying like, oh, well, just, you know, suck it up. No, this God is doing something. I don't know what, but I do know that it's hard. And I do know as I've gone through it that, yes, we need each other, and this is real community. And bless you for not checking out. Bless you for not just quitting. Bless you for not anesthetizing the pain, but being aware, God, I'm not alone. And if I'm not alone, I can go through it. And when I come out, I'm going to be lacking nothing. This is what growth looks like. I am going to grow. No longer a baby. As much as we love babies, and we're going to dedicate at least one baby next week, I'm excited about. Cute, beautiful, right? But I think we'd all, you know, 16 years from now, if that baby was still a baby, we'd think something's wrong. We expect this baby to grow. And 16 years from now, that's a teenager, and that's, you know, you get it. But spiritually, sometimes we kind of think, okay, I'm born, awesome, this is it. I'm just going to be a baby, which as cute as you are, there's not a whole lot of function, as those of you that have raised kids, as I have. There's not a whole lot of contribution in that baby stage. But as that baby grows, it's amazing the contribution. It's amazing the power. It's amazing what is advanced, even in those young years. All right. This is my definition of spiritual growth. So I wanted to define that, because don't try to find this in a Bible dictionary anywhere. You'll be frustrated. But as I was working on this, I just thought, you know, this is how I define spiritual growth. It's a combination of us and God, an intentional effort to achieve a status where we are producing fruit. In other words, I understand that some aspect of my growth just happens. You know, even if I'm a baby, I'm not in charge of my getting bigger, except if I don't eat, if I don't drink, if I don't sleep, if I don't do some of those things, it will definitely stop that process. So, you know, there's a partnership here. There's something that I bring to the table. There's something that God brings to the table. But together, there's motives here. Together, there's a purpose. And it's that we're not a baby anymore. It is that we grow. And by the way, when we grow, we are going to produce fruit. And when we grow spiritually, we're going to produce spiritual fruit. So, you may think, well, forget it. I don't want to grow. I'm happy just being baby status. You know, I just want to cry, eat, poop, and have someone else feed me. Okay? That's cute for a couple years. But after that, it becomes pretty weird, doesn't it? And now we're saying, hey, time to grow. And I used this slide last week. And so I'm bringing it out again to say, I hope you know this is not an option. You know, it sounds like fun, and it's important that we start in that stage and go through it, but it's very important that we come out of it. And I'm using this passage in Matthew 12. When an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert seeking rest but finds none. Then it says, I'll return to the person I came from. And it's this point right here between these two sentences, meaning right at this place, and I draw a big old arrow, right here. Sorry, I missed the arrow. So he returns and finds his former home empty, swept clean, and in order. Okay, this is the point. This is the point where we're like, can't we just stay here? Can't we just be like, the pain is stopped. There's no more pressure. There's no more motivation. And as much as I understand that, and as much as I am attracted to that too, I'm using this verse, but there's many others that are going to say, if you are not going forward, you're going backwards. because staying in one spot is not an option. And that's kind of what this person tried to do. Actually, Jesus is talking about a whole generation because he swept the house clean. He and his ministry man pushed back the demonic realm. And they go, oh, well, thanks. We really didn't do anything. But we were here, we were born at this time, and thanks, Jesus, for cleaning our house for us. We'll just kind of relax and enjoy the house clean and put in order. Wow, you didn't fill with anything. You didn't welcome the Holy Spirit. So guess what? See, seven demons joined the first and moved in. And this poor generation, this analogy of a person's life, worse off than before. Now, I found this term last week and I shared this as well. Many of you may feel empty. This is dangerous. This is the place you don't want to be. And I found about seven demons, one named loneliness, depression, fear, unbelief, anger, self-centeredness, covetousness, wanting what you don't have. And basically, I think this is the original guy. He was basically just bringing death. So those are just my thoughts on, you know, if you're empty, and society or the world can define that many ways, take that as God's prompting to fill up with him, because these demons are waiting to move in. And all of them equate to death. And you may think, oh, well, at least I'm not empty. I'm filled with my anger. Yeah, you're right. You're not empty. But he's going to bring his buddies along. And that's why Ephesians says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Lest you give the devil a foothold. Same kind of imagery. Okay, you're angry. Oh, okay, good for you. Oh, you can justify it. You have the right to be angry. Yes, I get it. Been there, done that. But if I don't deal with that before the day's over, I'm giving Satan a foothold. Hey, look up the verse. It doesn't say it'll give you a bad hair day. It doesn't say it'll make you just, you know, grumpy and you'll get over it. No, this is demonic. This is the demons get to move in. So our option of just house clean, put into order, please take that out of your game. Take that out of your thinking. It is not an option. I wish I could be Mr. Nice Guy, friendly guy, and like, okay, yes, I'll clean your house for you every week. And then you could go home and fill up with seven more demons? No, that's crazy. Yes, I'll try to help clean up, but fill as fast as you can. More Holy Spirit in there. All right, don't make peace with the lies of loneliness. Don't make peace with isolation and depression. Don't make peace with fear. That is not your friend. It is a liar. And we'll help you with each one of these things, but please, unbelief is a killer. Every one of those things, don't just like, okay, well, great, I came to church and I felt some relief. Well, praise God for that. So now I'm just going to go home and not fill up with anything. Wow, you don't want to be in that place. No, Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, move in. Holy Spirit, I may not even be able to define these demons like, you know, I did. But I know if you are moving in, guess what? The enemy's got to move out. So Holy Spirit, more of you, come in, push out. There is no such thing as cruise control. This is your manufacturer's notice. Cruise control is not an option with the Holy Spirit. It has been disabled in you, so we can be dependent and grow together in the Holy Spirit. This is our value today. This is what I want you to say, you know what, this is important to me. I kind of wanted to check out because of the count of pure joy when trials and tribulations come your way. I don't like trials and tribulations. Well, neither do I. But I value spiritual growth. And because I value spiritual growth, and I know me, and I'm getting to know God's character and his love for me, I trust his way. And I trust that his way is going to be the best way for me to grow. And as soon as I get my goals to match God's goals, which he wants you to grow, he doesn't want you to stay a baby all your life. As you grow, guess what? You're not going to be frustrated. You're not going to be fearful. You're not going to have to worry about all the ups and downs of life. As you learn to trust that God's way is the best way for you and I, joy, peace, love, goodness, sound mind, self-control, all the fruit of the Holy Spirit now start to manifest in our lives. Church, this is important. And if I could downplay it, I would, but it would not help you. So the opposite is true. I want to make an emphasis on this. I want it to be important to you. I want it to be something that motivates you. I want it to be something that, you know, I don't have to talk you into and put fancy wrapping on it. It's something that's like, oh, yeah, hey, we'll have this training if you want to come learn. Yes! I want to grow! I'm in! All right, cool. So am I. All right, so here's the question. How do I promote my spiritual growth? I am glad you asked, because here's a couple answers. I'm going to use a Psalm 26 as an overlay. There's plenty of scripture I could have chose for this, including coming up in the book of Romans chapter 12. Jesus wanted to preach on that in January, so I didn't purposely use that verse, but if you want to study that ahead of time, that would be a great one. All right, so this is David writing before he is king, and he's got people chasing him and a bunch of false accusations, and so he's crying out to God. He says, "Declare me innocent, O Lord, for I have acted with integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Put me on trial, Lord, and cross-examine me. Test my motives of my heart." David understood that his actions aren't going to be judged on earth by, or on, in heaven by the action itself, but by the motive of the heart. That's how everything you and I do is going to be judged in heaven. And the reason he can make this really courageous statement, I mean, to me, I remember a time in my life when I could not say that. That would terrify me. But he can say this because David knew this. I am always aware of your unfailing love. And this next verse is just saying, I've lived my life according to your truth, meaning I'm throwing in with you, God. I made a decision. To you and I, it would be like, I have decided to follow you, Jesus. I'm not saying I'm good at it. I'm not saying I'm perfect, certainly. But I have made that decision. I am in. And because I'm in, you can see I don't spend my time with liars or go along with hypocrites. I hate the gatherings of those who do evil and refuse to join in with the wicked. I wash my hands and declare my innocence. I come to your altar. I go to church, O Lord, singing and worshiping, thanksgiving, and telling of your wonders. Okay, I kind of went fast there and paraphrased, but and there's a few more verses in Psalm 26. But number one, you need to make sure. And that's really what he's stating here in verse 1. God, I'm connected to you. Make sure you are connected to the Son. And I know I put in parentheses, S-U-N, because we're talking about spiritual growth. Like a plant wants to grow, it can want to grow all it wants, but if it's in the dark, that plant's not going to grow, right? So I want to grow, step number one. Step number two, I need the Son. Spiritually, I need the Son of God to grow. So salvation, you can't jump over that. You can't skip that step and say, well, I kind of like the Christian lifestyle. I kind of like the people. Well, cool. Amen. It's not sustainable unless you're connected to the Son. Without the person and work of Jesus Christ, we can't live this way. But if you are connected, not only will you live this way, but you will grow. All right. So, we got a couple more things. I had to make some room here. Number two, our intimacy directly impacts our growth. Now, you may start with a great relationship with Jesus. And we talked about this last week. It's a temptation for all of us. I'm feeling good. The pain stopped. The trial's over. Jesus, thank you for saving me. I can take it from here. And then we walk out of the sunlight into the darkness, and guess what? You're not going to grow there. So the more we emphasize, the more we prioritize our intimacy with Jesus, guess what? The more you will grow. Now, David right here very quickly says, examine my heart. Examine the motives of my heart. This is amazing. And I've said this over the years, and I'm going to keep saying it because I recognize as I grow, my capacity to do this changes, my awareness of this changes. But I wrote, run into correction. Be teachable. If somebody loves you enough and is brave enough to correct you, or brave enough to speak into your life, and they're doing it out of love. Now, yes, I know that sometimes can be a mixed bag. But David actually had a guy that was really disgusting, throwing rocks at him, screaming. His name was Shimei. And David knew this principle so well, he said, hey, don't go up there and kill him, which, you know, his guards wanted to do. He said, I want to listen to him in case God has a message for me. Wow. You know, even when somebody comes to me in love, it's hard for me to listen to, right? So we have to value this. We have to say, God, make me teachable. Keep me teachable. Value this. God loves you too much to allow you to stay an infant your whole spiritual life. No, he's saying you will grow whether you want to or not. And I love you, and I'm going to teach you with the least amount of force necessary. Did you catch that? With the least amount of force necessary, meaning most of us, it takes a 2x4 amount of force, right? All right, 2x6, whatever. That's me. I'm confessing here. I wish it would have been the feather, but I didn't listen to that. I wish it could have been the noodle. I didn't listen to that. Okay, back to the woodshed. Oh, you got my attention, God. Why didn't you just say so? Yeah, it's the least amount of force I needed to get your attention. As I have matured in the Lord, guess what? I value this more and more and more. And yes, God is back to, the feather and the wet noodle. All right. Examine me. You want your motives to be exposed now, not later. This is an important process of the Christian life. Please, as I'm saying, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We are saying, Holy Spirit, examine us. Because I do not want to stand in front of the Lord with all this extra baggage when I could easily shed it right here, right now. That's what we're about. That's why we pray through our little repentance prayer. That's why we teach this class around the country about the 4R model of just praying through. Man, let me shed this junk. I don't want to carry it with me. Lord, expose it now. So when I'm in your presence, I can just be free and enjoy your presence. And by the way, your influence impacts your spiritual growth. Did you notice, I'll outline this. This whole section here is saying, God, I'm willing to change my friends. What? I'm willing to follow Jesus. I'm willing to sacrifice anything. But I have to get all new friends? Well, if they're a bad influence on you, yeah, absolutely. Because who you hang out with, the influence that you have, garbage in, it's going to be garbage out. So you have to be willing to clean house. Jesus did it for you, but guess what? If you fill up with junk and the old friends and the old lifestyle and the old, ways, I don't see how that's sustainable. I don't know. You can come back and tell me later, but I've seen it so many times. Wow, those that are serious about following the Lord say, God, you clean my house, fill up Holy Spirit. That's what this place is about, by the way. That's why we started a church in an area that has a lot of churches already. We started a church so there could be a true community of believers that say, I need new friends. I need new people that have values that are kingdom values. Because my whole world that I just got saved out of was going to hell in a handbasket in a hurry. Going the wrong way fast. So, man, I'm different, I'm changed, but if I'm back on that train, it's going the wrong direction. So, God, I need a whole new outlook here, a whole new system. Well, welcome to the body of Christ. I do too. I'm the same way. Many of you in here are, you know, I have a family that God has blessed me with that I love, but can I say this family of believers in here is this to me. You are vital to me. And I'm like, no, God, thank you for providing this. This is important. This is a lifeboat. If I jump out of it, yeah, I could tread water for a little while. A little while. And then I start thinking, why jump out? I am going to hang out inside this lifeboat. Scripture puts a lot of emphasis in this. Influencers will impact your spiritual growth. Now, I'll go over this real quick. I'm sorry, we're just a little long. Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. This is a verse that Marcia uses when she teaches about our I am statements, and you're hearing the testimonies, and you're going to hear the testimonies of people that have been willing to do this. I'm going to put good stuff in my mind, in my heart. I'm going to fill up with God's truth here. So this little proverb is a powerful one. And Thursday night, we had one of the Lord's Land leaders do the teaching, and he brought up a deal about excuses. He says, man, the accuser is always saying, I told you so. So I put it on the side here. What about and the I told you so's? Meaning this on the side is all the excuses not to live this way. You know, well, okay, I was guarding my heart, I was minding my own business, and then someone sat in the chair that was my chair at church and parked in my parking spot and said something rude to a friend of mine. Okay, don't let that determine the course of your life. It's an offense. Be unoffendable. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus is asking you to care for many times what's referred to as the weaker brother. I'm not saying it's okay. I'm not saying be rude to each other. But please don't fall for that scheme of the enemy. Romans 14 says, so let's stop condemning each other. Because these things are really excuses. They're really offenses. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. Wow, you take responsibility for the other person. I know and I am convinced on the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ that no food, the issue in their day was eating cheap food that was offered to idols. And Paul's making the argument, man, for me, I can eat anything and it's not wrong. But if someone else believes it is wrong, then for that person, it is wrong. So let them grow through that. And if another believer is distressed by what you eat, you are not acting in love if you eat it. Okay, well, this is the way we've always done it. This is where I always sit. This is da-da-da-da. Man, that's not love. You are not acting in love when you insist on your way. Don't let your eating ruin someone for whom Christ died. Now, this is called the principle of the weaker brother, but please understand, it is not saying weaker brother remain a weaker brother. What this is saying is we need a safe environment for all of us to grow. If we're going to value growth, then guess what? You're going to have people that are brand new believers, you know, couple months old believers, all the way up. It's going to be staggered, right? All the way up to the, you know, older people like me. But the point being, we need to make this environment safe for each one. And not say, okay, little infant baby, aren't you cute? We're just gonna let you stay that way for 16 years. No, you are cute, we love you. I'm gonna work really hard to make it safe for you to grow. Yeah, you got time. Yeah, it's okay. No, sit anywhere, doesn't matter. Park anywhere, yeah, it doesn't matter. But I want you to grow and see the things that do matter. And that's what this place is about. Christ died for us. Don't be fooled by the excuses. Don't be fooled by what somebody else does to take you off your game to where we will grow. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink. It's not all the do's or don'ts, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. This is what we've signed up for. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God and others will approve of you too. So then, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. This is the concept of growing. I'll just illustrate Proverbs 4:23 really quick. And it's saying, guard your heart, because man, your thought life goes in there, your influencers go in there, and what you take in all comes in. And whether you are guarding this stuff or not, it's going to determine the course of your life, the direction you go. If you measure your life and you say, whoa, there's a lot of drama in my life, check this stuff, okay? What is going in? You need to take every thought captive. You need to guard what is influencing, you know, you in friends, in entertainment, in time. What you are taking in, all of this stuff is having an impact, and it will determine the course of your life. If we can put in every one of these categories God's truth and the Holy Spirit, guess what the course of your life is going to be? Scripture already said it's going to be peace, joy, goodness, all of these things. And by the way, if you initiate this, I'll make this point. It's really important. So again, I apologize for going a little long. But this point, I wanted to make it for us here. This may seem overwhelming, and some of you may not be used to doing this, but can I point you to 2 Kings 6, and this is Elisha. He's praying, and this is his servant here. And his servant looks out in the morning, and he sees this huge army. I don't know if you can see the illustration, but he comes back and reports to Elijah, we're done. We're being bombarded. The enemy's camped out on the hill. They got chariots. They got all these big stuff. And you may feel that way with your thought life. Well, this is a barrage. It is just like I repented, but it is just like coming in. Well, Elijah said, hey, I'm not worried. You want to see heaven's armies? They're at our disposal. And so Elijah prayed, and then the servant, for a brief moment, was able to see heaven's armies and those that are for us rather than those that are against us. Here's what I'd like you to do this week. Practice taking every thought captive. Every thought. And if a week is too much, let's do a day. If a day is too much, let's do an hour. And just catalog what comes in. And here's your part of the deal. Initiate. Give the order. Now you may like, well, I prayed once and, you know, it came back. I'm saying, let's pray for an hour. Let's pray for a 24-hour period. I tell the enemy this, and my wife and I, she knows my vocabulary, but I'll say, enemy, you come at me 99 times, I'm coming at you 100 times. Amen. So this is not a once and done thing. This is a war. And try it for even an hour, maybe when you're the most susceptible, when you're tired late at night, whatever it is, but it's like, okay, bad thought came in. I recognize that's not of the Lord. I take that thought captive in the name of Jesus Christ. You could use the biblical term, I bind you, I send you away. And then do this, because you need to go first. That's what I'm saying, initiate. Then God is waiting for you to use his authority. But guess what? He's got resources in heaven. Then I'll say, God, this attack seems to be a little relentless. Can I call on your resources to come to my aid? Well, whatever you got up there in heaven that, you know, a couple of warring angels that aren't busy right now, I could really use them. But I need to go first, all right? I'm not teaching you like, oh, okay, you know, I need a guardian angel to take care of that for me, and I'm just going to continue watching my show or whatever. No, you initiate. You initiate. And then call on the resources that are yours in the authority of Jesus Christ. And I tell you, it'll probably lead into some more prayer. It'll probably lead into a little bit of worship. It'll probably lead into gratefulness, and pretty soon you won't even realize that the battle is already won and done. But try this, report back to me, but let's do this until we see the final victory. So, number one, no excuses. Let's repent of all our excuses or offenses. If you're offended, that's on you, really. So drop that. Number two, my intimacy with Christ will be the priority in my life. I'm willing to change my influencers, and the Holy Spirit in me will give me the courage to serve the right thing to do for the right reason. Wow, let's stand up, because here's what we're aiming for, and this is out of Romans 14. I want to live a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. This is about Holy Spirit month, and this Holy Spirit, we got to be honest, we want the life of goodness and the life of peace and the life of joy. We want that. So you got our attention. So Holy Spirit, we say come. This is the life we want. A life of goodness, a life of peace. Wow, a life of joy. So we've experienced some first fruit, some first drops of that. But Holy Spirit, I call on the resources of heaven right now, that the floodgates will be opened and that your Spirit will pour out on us, pour through us. And not only will we have a victorious week, but God, a victorious life in you. Thank you for this. Let's just end, repeat after me. Let's just agree with this together. So in Jesus' name, I say, Holy Spirit, come. I want this life. A life of goodness, a life of peace, and a life of joy. And I recognize there's only one source. That's you, Holy Spirit. So come in Jesus' name. Amen. And bless our lunch together in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. I think we have lunch in the fellowship hall.